Now, we're here at the launch of your new iCore chair. Could you tell me what the chair is and what you're going to try and achieve with it?
The title of the chair is Service System Management. And what that basically means is that my team is interested in building software that will help people that deliver services do so better. So one area that we're working with is healthcare delivery and education of healthcare professionals. And in that context, we are interested in building environments that are smart. They're able to monitor the behaviors and the activities of their occupants. And the idea is that if a person with some chronic needs lives in that environment, the environment will keep track of how they're doing and essentially will be keeping a running history of how the person lives. And this will be essential for healthcare professionals who visit them or ask them questions to have a better information of how they're doing in order to deliver better care for them.
So is this what you're incorporating into what you're calling the smart condo?
This is exactly the smart condo activity. And the other aspect of it is, how do you train the future healthcare professionals to be able to use this technology? Because these systems are complex, and the people who have been trained in the health sciences right now, they don't necessarily have the capabilities or the knowledge to use that. So our job is to work with the ACERC, Health Science Education Research Commons, to train healthcare professionals to use these systems effectively. And in the training theme, we're also using virtual worlds. So we'll be able to build scenarios of interesting problems that the healthcare professionals will find in real life. So for example, for a nursing team in the emergency room, they're receiving somebody from an ambulance team. And there is a particular protocol that they have to go through in order to make sure that all the information is passed properly. And this is one of the scenarios that we will be trying to do with them. And this way we know that people will be able to handle the situations in real life better.
Well, how do you make that usable or user-friendly for the people who are working with these software packages?
There are two types of things that, two main ideas. One is to make the user interface simple. And right now, many of the virtual worlds allow communication with voice. So it could be as simple as talking to your screen, especially for people who are elderly and don't have particular expertise in using systems. What is working for us is that the new generation of students that we're seeing at the university are much more trained in playing computer games, and they're more confident in using these virtual worlds. So what we're doing in the software engineering research program is to use this ability of people to play games and to build simulations that will use their knowledge to train them in their own profession, instead of making user interfaces in the traditional way that are simply not as intuitive.
What do you see as being the major problems that you have to overcome?
The first problem is to understand what are the essential tasks of these professional areas. If you need to use computers to train people, you have to specify everything very formally. And in some sense, that will also be a contribution of this collaboration. We have to make our colleagues be very precise about what are the steps they go through in their profession, which is something that they may or may not have thought about. But because we need to specify everything in the simulation scenario, they need to think about what are the essential steps. So that's the first problem, to specify what are the essential steps and formally describe them. And once you know exactly what you're doing, then you're able to monitor how well you're doing. You're able to measure your performance at it, and you're able to come up with ideas about how to make it different and better. What can you potentially automate? What you could be doing in many different ways, because different people have different needs, and we may realize by building it in a computer that we could have two or three variations of taking histories for people with different cultural backgrounds or different ages. So this first step of systematization and formalization enables so many opportunities in making things better.
You're applying this in the health services area, but where else could it be applied?
In general, simulation-based training is a huge area with huge potentials. We all live in a very complex environment, and we all need to know how to use software and how to use complex devices. You know, sometimes people complain about their video systems or how to fill out forms. All of these interactions where people work with computers or complex devices, they can benefit from training with virtual worlds.
In your speech, you referenced the smart condo, but you also mentioned something you called the smart planet. What's that?
Smart planet is a term coined by IBM, and the vision is that we will live in the Internet of Things. So microprocessors and sensors are becoming very cheap, so everything will be having a microprocessor or a chip. And it will be feeding information about what's its status. So we'll be able to monitor, we already do in fact, we monitor the fatigue of the road system in order to know when to go and fix them. We could monitor the humidity of all the trees that we have around campus, and we wouldn't be watering them on a regular fixed schedule, but only when they need to. We could be monitoring energy consumption, and then we could become greener because basically we can have automated ways of controlling the air conditioning systems and the power supply. So if everything was smart, then everything could potentially become better, cheaper, more energy efficient.
What involvement does IBM have with your chair?
We are working with many research and development teams within IBM. At the more software engineering level, we're working with IBM Toronto on building simulations. We're also working with their teams that are interested in virtual worlds, and they're also interested in figuring out how these will be embedded in real-life scenario with people that don't have formal training in computers. And the great thing is that through the Casa Alberta, we're looking for more potential receptors of all these other technologies in the lab within IBM. So our contacts with IBM are increasingly expanding.
One of the questions I would have about continual monitoring or censoring of a person's environment or their household is, wouldn't that be an invasion of a person's privacy, especially when you look at it on a bigger scale?
Yes, there's no denying that we are seeing much more potential in invading people's privacy. This has to be balanced with the concern of what can we do better. So for people who do need help, I think the benefits of better care and more efficient care and more cost-effective care and more timely care much outweigh the potential concerns of privacy. This is not to say that we're not going to address the privacy concerns, simply to say that recognizing the needs of people will enable us to balance the problems that the technology may introduce. Of course, we will build all the right, to the extent possible, all the right safeguards to make sure that this information is accessed only by health professionals who have a valid role of healthcare delivery to perform.
Elena, congratulations on your new chair, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much.